The kids were given an opportunity to write a letter to God about anything that they wanted to give to him, whether it was like being rude to their siblings or having stolen in the past or just fears that were going through their mind. And I was sitting with two kids from my cabin that hadn't really engaged in any of the campfire services throughout the week. And one of the kids turned to me and he told me that he didn't want to write the letter because he didn't really trust that we wouldn't read it and all this stuff. And it was obvious that he wanted to, even though he didn't trust us in that way. And I told him, I gave him my word that we wouldn't read it, and they said that we would throw them in the fire, and it would just be a symbolic giving it to God. And I told him to think about it and ask God about it. And I remember sitting there for most of the service while all these other kids went up, and I was praying to God that this boy would do it anyways, and that he would work in this boy's life through this. And like last minute, the boy decided to do it. And he got up, he wrote this letter, and he walked up to the fire and threw the letter in the fire. And it was a great moment because this boy, throughout the week, had been having a lot of difficulty making friends with some of the other kids, and he was getting violent at times, and just seeing how God worked through him throughout this whole week at Shiloh, it was incredible, and it confirmed in me the importance of local missions.
Oh man, were you this nervous coming up here? Honestly. Hi, I'm Malcolm, for those of you that don't know me. Not that most of you wouldn't. Despite what you think, Brent was an excellent leader going on the trip. And yeah, Shiloh, I had been asked if I wanted to participate in Shiloh about 5 months prior to when we had actually left. And I had said, of course, I'd gone on Vancouver before and I had enjoyed it. So Shiloh was something that would have interested me. But two-ish weeks leading up to the trip, if you had asked my parents or Brent, I had really not wanted to go. Like, there was nothing that could have made me want to go. And we had, Shiloh does a thing where they train you before you actually come and before all the kids come. So that's like a few days before. And on that weekend, I'd gone there, I'd seen how everything was, and I still didn't want to go. But we got there when the kids showed up, and all that nervousness and the feeling of not wanting to go just left my mind. And I enjoyed the trip so much. And it was good to see all the kids who came from everything that had happened to them, all the situations they were in, and they just came to this camp and they were able to forget about everything and they were able to have a good time. And you were able to see by the end of the week, most of them who came in weren't talking to anyone, had no smiles on their faces. They were all able to smile, enjoy, have a good time, and they made lots of friends. And I think for the leaders, we also made a lot of friends, whether it was with the leaders or with the children. And the children, they had much as an impact on our lives as we had on theirs. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mariah Jenkins, and I went to Ukraine this summer for the third time. And this was the first out of the four trips that was just a young adult team. So it was cool. It was a different dynamic, and it was just an amazing experience. And I just want to share about one thing that impacted me so greatly. And I know probably everyone knows about the situation in Ukraine, and it has really affected them financially. And wages have stayed the same, and goods and everything else has increased in price. So there's major inflation, so it's caused a lot of problems in that country. And What was interesting about this trip was that money seemed to come up a lot in conversation, and some of our friends would ask us, oh, how much does this cost in Canada? Oh, how much are you paid for this? And it got to be very uncomfortable in some situations because of how blessed we are in here in Canada. And my one closest friend there, he asked, well, how much do you make for your job? And I'm a server, and so I told him the wage that I make, which is about $10. Leaving out the fact, of course, that as a server you get tips, and I've been blessed with that job. And I told him $10, and he was like, wow, that is so cool. That's amazing. To them, it's about maybe $8 or $9 a day that a decent job gets paid. And so to them, it was just mind-blowing. And at the end of the trip, we went to a market, an outdoor market, with some of our friends. And my friends came with me, and they were helping me pick out a nice sweater that I wanted to buy, and this and that. And then I had a necklace that I wanted, and I asked them, like, do you like this? Would you want this? And they said, yeah, like, duh, which is yes in Russian. And so I said, okay, like, I want to buy this for you. And they said, no, it's okay. And to us, it was $2 per necklace. So that's a coffee that we get daily. And so to me, it was nothing. It wasn't a big deal at all, but to them, it just meant so much. And so I bought it for them, and they wore it proudly. And my one friend, he was one of my closest friends there, he wanted a bracelet, this bracelet instead, but it was double the price of the necklace. So he insisted, I'll pay the difference. And I just encouraged him, no, like, I want to bless you. I want to give this to you. And it's like he won the lottery. And I came back just so affected by this because previous to the trip, I was complaining about my job and I was annoyed. And my mom can attest to this, that I was just kind of done with it. And I came back just feeling so overwhelmed and so blessed from what we have here. And yeah, it was just really an amazing realization that God gave to me. So thank you.
Good morning. My name is Carissa. And I'm also one of the young adults that had the privilege to go to Ukraine this summer. That is my sister, Mariah, and like her too, it was my third time also. And what a great trip it was. I just want to give you a little background on what we were doing. You've been seeing some of the Ukraine photos of our team and the friends that we made going through the slideshow. And the first place we went to, we call it hospital camp because it takes place in an old abandoned hospital that they've refurbished and they use for children's camp and conferences. And the camp we were working at was an English camp. So we were there primarily to teach English, but to also just make connections with these kids that we were ministering to and just to show them God's love. This specific camp is partly government funded, so it's run by Christian pastors, obviously, that are Christ followers. And the specific camp, they aren't exactly allowed to put God up as the front main thing that they want to teach these kids. So they do it in these subtle, great ways that they're able still to show God's love. It's not the forefront. So we were teaching English mostly, but as a team from Canada, we were able to show dramas that we had worked on to that clearly show God's message. And so they were able to see the story about God and how much he loves them through that. And we were able to speak a little bit and give some testimonies too. And the kids just opened up to us right away and they just like loved us. We just loved them and just showed God's love and we all connected really well right away. And so that was really awesome. And then the camp ended and that's always tough to say goodbye. And we had a day with just the leaders and we were able to, you know, just continue to making those connections and those relationships. Some with friends we've made from previous years and some with new friends. And at one point, too, we were able to do like a mini service and singing worship songs together. They're singing in Russian and we're singing in English. And those are some of my favorite moments, just to be able to see that no matter where you are in the world, no matter what language you speak, you serve the same God. And so that was really a really neat moment. And so when we ended that day, and then it was time to begin our next camp. Now, the interesting thing about this trip is we walked from hospital camp which is on the edge of a village. We walked 15 minutes into a forest into the new camp. So this was a specifically difficult transition as compared to other years because we said goodbye. Some of us were crying. We gave our hugs. We walked away waving, and we had 15 minutes to switch your brain kind of into a new mode, into a new camp. And so that was really difficult. And we walk into this new camp, and we're meeting some leaders. The kids hadn't arrived yet and kind of getting settled. And then the kids arrived a couple hours later. Now, this was different for us as Canadians because these specific kids were older. They were more teenagers, whereas the other camp was more spread from 6 to 16. More teenage focus at this camp in the forest. And they were a little hesitant to us. They weren't as, like, jump into friendship as the last camp. So that was a little difficult for us. We really could notice that there was just kind of a lot of walls built up. And it's really hard when you're there for only a short amount of time. I think it was only 8 days at this camp or nine. And you want to just be able to just have an open relationship right away with these kids and just being able to just have lots of fun right off the get-go. But this was particularly difficult. It took a little bit of time. And we just were struggling a little bit. Like, these kids aren't opening up to us. What's going on? So we just called out to God as a team. We came together and we just prayed. We said, God, like, we want to do your work. We want to show them your love, but we need them, their hearts to be open too. And we just prayed and just called out to God. And literally, I think it was a night and the next morning, you could just sense God's presence and just totally change things. And the kids were literally immediately almost just opened up way more, talking with us more, playing with us more, playing sports and just different activities that we had going on. And that was so cool just to see God's hand at work. And then throughout the camp, a lot of these kids come from non-Christian homes, and they don't know God. And one particular service, there was an altar call, a call to ask Christ to come into their life if that is what they wanted. And there were about 16 youth of our friends that wanted to do that and went up to the front and said, yeah, this is my choice. I want God in my life. And it was so cool to just see that turnaround from, you know, kind of hesitant, walls up, to just open relationship, letting us show God's love to them, and then eventually just making that choice to have God come into their own life was just so cool to see. And God just really showed us how incredibly powerful he is. And it was a good reminder to just never doubt him and know that he always has everything under control. And just one more thing to add about those kids. I know some of them have already got plugged into a church, the church that ran the camp. Some are already going there. Some are already taking Alpha, that I think the last Canadian team that went introduced to them, I believe. And so it's just so cool to just see how God can work across the world and in so many different ways. And when you are having a tough time, just knowing that he's got you and just to trust him completely, and it will just work out so amazingly. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kelly, and I was tasked with the privilege / burden of leading Jeff to Ukraine. I'm still in recovery mode on that one. But it was a great experience for us. I mean, I'm going third here, so a lot was already said already. But in these kind of things, like I want to give you guys a little bit of a glimpse into what actually went on, what we did. And actually, I'm just shooting myself before I even said it. It's not about what we did. It's actually about what God did. And I want to share with you a little bit of a glimpse into that, because Ukraine's actually played a huge role in my life and my journey. My very first missions trip, when I was 14 years old, I went to Ukraine. That was back in 2004. And I was a very different person back then, long story, but that first trip changed my life completely. Set me on a whole different trajectory in life. It made me passionate about God. It really showed me what God could do in my life if I was willing just to follow him. So Ukraine's played a special role in my heart. I've been there. This was the 8th time I've actually got to go there, which is an incredible privilege. And in most of those trips, we're working with the same people, the same ministries, the same churches, and just seeing the growth and the investment of every trip. And a lot of people ask me, I work in the field of short-term missions. I'm in the missions department at Vanguard College, and people are always asking me, what's the value of a short-term missions trip? Are you actually doing anything that makes a difference? Basically, they're wanting to know, is it worth the money? And what I can tell you is just a little bit about this trip and about a bunch of the trips I've been on is that really it doesn't come down to that. It comes down to, do you believe that God is bigger than that timeline? Do you actually believe that? Do you actually believe that if you go willing for 21 days or however long it is, that if you commit that time to God, that he can actually do something that can change one person's life forever, or can change a church forever, or can change a community forever? And so what's really cool for me is going back so many times, I get to see that growth kind of spread out over these past 10, 11 years. It all started, I believe, 15, 20 years ago. Vanguard College first started sending teams into this place, to the northern Ukraine, and we were doing camps and all this stuff. And the idea was birthed in this one pastor who, hey, I want to do a camp like that, but I need some help. So then they reached out to connections in Millwoods Pentecostal, just north of us here, our mother church, 10 years ago. Say, hey, would you guys come and support us and do this camp? And so we did. We went, and that was the first trip that I was on. And from there was four trips from Millwoods that went, and this was the fourth trip from our church. So just to see this connection that this one little town, Berdichev, it's called, in kind of north central Ukraine, has this connection to Beaumont, to Edmonton. You can't tell me that's a natural, economic, making sense kind of relationship. That only makes sense in the economy of God's kingdom, that would even come close to making sense. So I can tell you lots of stories over the years of peoples who've just been changed by just the consistency and the faithfulness. The only reason that these places can do these camps is, frankly, because of some of the financial giving that we're able to bring with us. Mariah already mentioned it. This in Ukraine right now is a brutal time. The war is on the forefront of everybody's minds. Everybody's only thinking about that. They're scrambling to find where their next month's rent is going to come from. And for us to come and for our church, for you guys, to be able to raise the support to send kids to camp might seem like the smallest, most insignificant thing when your country's at war. Oh, these kids want to go to camp. Their country's at war. Shouldn't they be doing something else? But for a kid to go to camp and for a week of their life not to hear the news of how Russia's invading or whatever's going on and how their country's going to collapse on them, and to hear God loves you, God cares about you, that there's these young adults who are strange, and there's Jeff, Pastor Jeff, who crossed an entire ocean to come and tell you about God's love. That I can't even explain how that speaks volumes to those kids and how it changes even the lives of some of the leaders that are there. I think one of the coolest things for me is to see kids who I remember going to camp 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever, who are now just getting excited about the call of God on their lives, and now they're leading some of these ministries. They're the ones like taking up the mantle and being like, I don't care about this war. I'm going to go serve my church. I'm gonna tell other kids about God's love, and to see the change that has happened in them and the growth. Like, there's so many intangible things that come out of those 21-day windows that you might call a short-term missions trip. And one of the coolest things for me was, Carissa talked about the two different camps we worked at this time. They're both put on by two separate churches from the same very town. But unfortunately, in Ukraine, churches don't really like to work with each other at all. This can be true of some of us, some of our churches here. But in Ukraine, they can actually be very hostile toward one another. And these two churches, who I've worked with their pastors, and I love them both very much, they still got to work on that. And one of the coolest things for me was after we were leaving from the one camp to the next camp, there was some hostility because we wanted to bring one of our friends with us to help translate and kind of add an extra voice. And he was one of the leaders of the other church. And they really didn't welcome him all that much. And it was really awkward. And we were kind of placed in this awkward middle position of like, well, why are you bringing him? Like, and it was a really cool teaching point for us to just bring him alongside and say, hey, get over yourselves, get over your differences. And by the end of camp, to see the pastor of the one church embrace the youth leader of the other church, something that had never happened in all their ministry, was incredible. And that you can only attribute to God working in their situation and in their life. So that's really cool. Other tangible things that we saw, we were able to raise money to send those kids to camps. Like I said, one of the other things that we got to do is we got to raise money to build a fence for the one camp, for the hospital camp, which I've, to my understanding, they've actually started building it already. But funny story, while we were there, the last couple nights of camp, we're kind of going along and we're in this village. And this village is a very old, very poor, very rural Ukrainian village. Nothing going on, like no lights, like it just goes dark. And of course, the Canadians, and there's all this noise going on at this old, abandoned, creepy, horror movie-looking hospital. And we're there, and so we're the big attraction in town. So what happens at 2 in the morning when people have been out in the bars and got nothing better to do? They come and check out the camp. So they're coming and checking out the camp. These guys are like 38, like old guys, year-old guys, nothing better to do. But come and literally throw apples at the windows at the kids and scare them. And they're like, ooh, like hollering out to them. Kids are terrified. So you can ask Pastor Jeff about this later. But we would go out and we would go try to be all manly and defend the kids from the attacking villagers. And so some very funny nights with that. I'm not going to go into details. Maybe you can ask me about it later. But a lot of tangible thing, we were able to raise money to build a fence to keep them out and keep the kids protected. Little things like that. But again, I want to hammer home the point that, yes, we went all the way to Ukraine. Yes, it was for only 21 days. But it was done in the context of years and years and years of relationship. But even more importantly than that, the time spent was dedicated to what God wanted to do in and through our team. And what I love about, I'm sorry, Jeff, if I'm preaching, but what I love about some of the other people coming up and sharing about what God did in Shiloh or what God did here at Diverse Youth in the summer is that no matter where you are, no matter where you go, you can always think, well, what is this really going to do? What is this impact really going to have? Am I really doing anything of significance? But any time, whether it's 21 days in Ukraine halfway across the world or a week at Shiloh or every week here in Diverse or whatever, if you seriously take the time to say, hey, God, I'm giving you this time, which I hope for many of us is our whole lives, but God, I'm giving you this time. Use me effectively. I want to bring glory to your name. I want others to hear about you. I want others to become more in love with you because you can use me to do that. And when you do that, amazing things happen. And Ukraine is just one of many examples from this past summer, and I hope it continues for our church in whatever God's calling you to do. So, thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. All right. Well, I am Jeff, and I am the burden that Kelly brought over. Let's explain that for a second. I don't travel well. I'm not exactly a compact person. And I'm terrified of airplanes. Like, not even like, you get nervous at takeoff, I'm petrified. Like, that to save significant money, we drove to Calgary to take off from there to go to London instead of going direct from Edmonton. And the whole drive down there, I was having like a mild anxiety attack inside. Like I hate airplanes. And like, if we do, I think I ended up, I added up, I think we did like 9 or 10 flights in a month, which is just like, sounds like the worst month ever for me. I get better as we go, but I still hate them. And to be honest, I think people hate probably me too on an airplane. I don't know if you've noticed me. I'm not the most popular guy to sit next to. So like, I was a little apprehensive going to begin with. And then we landed in this place, and it is literally the hottest place I've ever been. And I've been to Thailand, I've been to Cambodia, and they were hot, don't get me wrong, but like, this place was hot. We got there and it was like 36 degrees the first 3 days, and like, it was hot the whole time, but I swear those first 3 days when you're trying to get used to it, and again, I'm a big guy. Like, I don't do well in the heat. I'm built, today is a beautiful day, guys. Oh man, I came back and it was like, people are wearing like pants and hoodies. I've been coming into the office here, and Maureen will be like, "Why are you wearing flip-flops?" I'm like, "Listen, you don't know where I've been or what I've seen. Don't you judge me. It's hot." I think in 22 days, was it? 22 days, we didn't have any rain. Some clouds came and like were teasing me, saying like, "Hey, you know that thing you want?" I'm like, "Nope, gone." Lightning, thunder, no rain. It's hot. Good things did happen once we got there, though. One, I'll give you a couple quick funny stories that I thought are funny anyways. One, we're at this hospital camp in this old hospital, and we're playing a game with the kids where we had to go hide, and in their groups they had to come and find us, and then in order to get us to sign off on their paper, we'd have to give them some type of a challenge to do. So, you know, this is like, go get me candy or a piece of candy or go do 30 push-ups or something like that. So for the first like 10 groups of the younger kids, I was like, do push-ups, get me candy. It was easy, just kind of, I wasn't hiding very hard. I was like sitting in a field on a rock or something because it was just hot and I didn't want to pass out. And these kids, this group comes up to me and they're like, oh, what do we do, what do we do? And I don't really speak English with them, but one or two of them kind of spoke a little bit of English, and I didn't know the words for this in Ukrainian, so I kind of was like, there was a chicken in the field across the way there. I'm like, chicken, like, and they're like, oh, said whatever the word is, and I point to him, like, get me that, thinking, like, I got to kill some time here. There's no way these people are going to catch a chicken. I was trying to catch the chicken all night the night before, and I couldn't catch the chicken, so surely these kids aren't going to catch it. So all of a sudden, I see, like, 10 kids, 10 like preteen, teenage boys, they just beeline for this poor chicken. And this isn't like a healthy Canada chicken, this is a haggard chicken. Like, this thing has seen some stuff. And it's running away. And I see them running through the woods, chasing it through the village. And then I just kind of like turn my back and I see they have it surrounded like a pack of wolves on a deer up against this fence. And then I kind of, again, I'm just kind of looking at my iPod, taking some pictures, and all of a sudden I see them running up with this poor, just frail chicken. They've caught two of them. They bring them back to me, and apparently those aren't the camp's chickens. Those are the villagers' chickens, and the villagers weren't overly pleased that we were assaulting their livestock, but it made for a great picture, and it made for a great time. Then I guess probably one of my favorite moments in Ukraine was at tent camp, the second it's kind of leg of our trip. And a long story short, at the first camp, there was one girl who was just a little interesting, and there's a story where she had woken up the camp director right in his face and was screaming, "Alarm clock! Alarm clock! Alarm clock!" So this was a funny story to us. That's a weird way to wake up. I wouldn't like that, but so we kind of ran with, there's that chicken. There it is. Alarm clock. So I asked, how do you say alarm clock in Russian? I was like, that's boldilnik. Okay, sweet. So about 3 days into camp, we're up for our meeting before these kids. They're all in their tents, and I decide I'm going to wake up these kids. You have to think through the lens of, imagine that you're in a camp, and you're in a tent, and there's some people who speak Russian, Ukrainians speaking Russian, and they don't speak English, you know they don't, you know they're there, you're there, you know they don't know any of your language, and you were woken up by somebody running into your tent just screaming, "Alarm clock! Alarm clock! Alarm clock!" So I ran in there, "Boldilnik! Boldilnik! Boldilnik!" Jumping on the beds and like shaking kids and screaming, and they're losing their absolute marbles. because they couldn't believe that this giant Canadian had learned this one word, such a useless word. And I won't get, you can ask about it later, but that word became this like movement across the camp where there was just, we had all of them screaming at campfire, and the one youth pastor would just, he didn't speak any English, but he just come up to me like, "Bulldog," and walk away. It's like, so we were unified by alarm clock, one nation under alarm clock. Yeah, it was weird, but it was fun. In all seriousness, though, we want to take a moment to thank everybody here. Like Kelly said, a lot of cool things that happened in Ukraine, they were allowed to happen because of support from you guys. For prayer, most importantly, for thinking of us and remembering us in your prayers. For financial support, there was some cool stuff that was able to happen. Like a wall, like, you know, it doesn't sound overly like exciting, but man, that's a big deal when you can keep villagers out, and that did happen. There were some crazy nights. You know what, even from the smallest donation can go so far. One example would be we bought about, I think, 200 glow sticks, like just dollar store glow sticks, playing a game where we've done it here kind of at the church, and we retrofitted it for the camp, and we went into the woods and hung glow sticks, just little, you know, dollar store glow sticks, and we brought them out to set up the game, thinking, okay, this will be fun. Like, it's pitch black. And we cracked the first one, and these kids just swarmed us. They had never seen a glow stick before. They don't have them. And, like, so that's something so small that, you know, I've always, like, glow sticks are cool. I still think they're cool. But that they had never seen one before, and you should have seen how these kids were just amazed by these glow sticks, and they all started wanting to crack them, and playing, it was actually a lot of fun. We hung them in the trees, and they had to go in their teams and collect them without getting tagged or tackled by leaders. And this is like safety code zero, running through the woods, chasing kids, but scaring them to death. So fun. You know what I could do if there was no concerns for safety in youth ministry? It was a blast, and nobody got hurt, thank goodness, but it was just incredible. But those glow sticks, that changed, that's a memory that those kids are always going to have, just because we were able to get those, just because people donated. So thank you so much for that. And yes, a lot of cool things happened in regards to ministry as well. We saw kids have some cool conversations about God, even with a language barrier. We were able to have conversations about God and see and pray for kids and see, I think it was, 19 or 20 or something like that, a large number of students accept Christ in their lives, especially at tent camp in the second week. And here's the thing that I really want to get across. There's a reason that we mixed this all together. We didn't just talk about Ukraine. We brought in Shiloh Youth Ranch as well. And as Brent mentioned, him and Brooke were here this summer at Diverse doing like weekly youth kind of events here, holding down the fort while we were gone. The ministry wasn't just happening over in Ukraine. And I know that when we talk about missions and being missional being intentional in missions, we talk about these trips, and that's kind of where our headspace goes. When we hear the word missions, we think overseas, we think, you know, Ukraine, Costa Rica, all those places. But there's so much more to it than just that. There's an intentionality behind why we're talking about Shiloh today, and also mentioning what we were doing here in Beaumont, because it's holistic. It's all together. There is no separation between overseas ministry, what God's doing there, and what God's doing in Alberta at Shiloh Youth Ranch, or here at Diverse, or at other churches, or wherever it is. There is a tendency, unfortunately, and maybe it's the way that it's been structured in the past, where we look at these things and we start to compartmentalize them into these different things that we kind of, okay, well, you know what, here's church here, here's our parachurch stuff, like our charitable areas, and here's our missions, overseas mission stuff over here. And we like to just kind of talk about them all in their own little group, but the fact of the matter is it's all God's plan, it's all missions, it's all God's call for us to spread the gospel around the world. says in the Bible, in Mark 28:19, "So whenever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That's one that I think we've all heard before. It's one that I think we learned, probably did a memory verse or something like that, if you grew up in church when you were younger, or you've probably heard it a couple of times. And it has so much importance. This is the single most important thing that we're supposed to do. This is what God has called us to do. Jesus is demanding, hey, you need to tell people about me. It needs to be something that you're aware of. And it says, so wherever you go, make disciples. It doesn't say wait till that next trip across the world comes around. It doesn't say wait till Sunday morning when you see someone you've never met before. It says wherever you go, in everything you do, make disciples. Be intentional. Be intentional about what you're doing. Be intentional about your purpose, about why you want, that you want people to know about Christ. And that doesn't mean, again, I say this every time I bring this up, it's not about making people into a project. It's not about being weird about it. It's not like you meet a new guy at work and it's like every single, you have to force Jesus into every conversation. Like, hey, do you watch the Oilers game? Yeah, but Jesus is great. Doesn't work. Just in regular life, finding ways to be Jesus to people in every situation that we have. If you're waiting and if you have the attitude that I can't wait until the next time we have the opportunity to go to Costa Rica or Haiti or Ukraine or whatever, so I can do missions, so I can take part of that, gotta check your attitude. Because it's not about waiting for that next opportunity to do missions, to be missional. It's about being missional in every single element of your life. Everything you do, that is what you're aware of. That's what your calling is to do. That's what Jesus told us to be. Being just real people who love Jesus and totally live within this world, and we can be, you know, normal guys, normal women who are friends with people at our workplaces, on our hockey teams, whatever it is, who it isn't just the defining factor of our relationship isn't that I go to church. A funny story, this one always gets me. I try not to tell people what I do right away because it almost creates a stigma. It's funny, I just started playing on a hockey team, and I don't even think somebody must have found out I'm a pastor. I don't hide it. But it's not like I walk in, hi, I'm Jeff the pastor, or I'm Pastor Jeff. That's weird. I'm Jeff. And I walked up last night to my hockey game, and there a couple guys were having a cigarette outside, and they're like, oh, there's the preacher. What? No. But I was at the gym. I work out at the Snap Fitness in town here. You get to know the people there who work there the more you go, obviously. So I was walking in on a snowy day. I think it was late in the winter, and this lady, I walk in, I'm like, oh, what a crazy day out there. And I think she thought I was referring to, like, my work day. And she's like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, well, sometimes, like, oh, I work with youth, or, you know, I'm a youth worker. But I was just like, oh, okay, well, I work at Eaglemont Church down the road. She kind of looks up at me, like, puzzled. Oh? Like in maintenance? No, I'm a pastor. And you should have seen her eyes get big. But that opened up a conversation about her understanding of what pastors look like, what Christians act like, what Christians look like. It opened a door, it opened a conversation, and actually a fairly intense theological conversation. The importance of being people that just are look exactly like the rest of the world, but inside we couldn't be more different. The little things that catch their eye, that they ask the question, why do you do it that way? And I'm not saying I have it all figured out, but But for me, that's something that I do take some pride in, is that the people wouldn't expect that from me. But then when it comes down to it, when that conversation, when that door opens, when God opens that door for us, that we have that chance to speak into people's lives and to have those conversations. And that people will see that to be a Christian is to be a real human being. In fact, it's to be the most real that you'll ever be. So to wrap up, I want to just touch on one more time the importance of this. Of Ukraine was great. Awesome things happened there. It was so cool to hear Brent and Malcolm talk and to see Malcolm's excitement and to see the change from maybe not so excited to go to really, honestly, very excited when he came back. I was shocked and very happy to see it. And Malcolm's a great kid. Very proud of him. Good things happened at Shiloh, and good things were happening here every week in the grind of diverse youth working with bored Beaumont kids who are a little tough to entertain at times. But the fact of the matter is, it's all together. Every element of ministry is one thing. We're on one trajectory. We're all on the same team. In everything we do, we're called to go wherever we are and make disciples. And that happened in all of those places. So this week and beyond that, as we go out into our workplaces, schools, whatever it is, let's be aware of that. Let's be aware that person that's having a hard time at work might need us to be a friend. That person at school who we've been trying to talk to about God, but it seems like that door's not opening up. There needs that door might open up, and God's going to open that for us. So I'm going to pray. And then Pastor Crystal has a fire drill planned, not for us, but for the kids, and she's going to guide us through that. But if you'd bow your heads with me, please. God, thank you for using us. Thank you for using broken people to do your works, to spread your word, to make disciples. God, thank you that we were able in Ukraine and at Shiloh and here in that we're continually able here in Beaumont to be a part of your plan. Thank you that we're a part of your plan for this community. Thank you for everybody that contributed to any of these trips, God. Thank you for the people that are spreading your word and making disciples every day in the trenches all around the world and at home. God, thank you for this church. We pray and we plead as a church together, God, that you would use us to reach Beaumont and around. Beyond that, God, we love you. We can't stop worshiping you. We're so thankful for everything you give us. God, please put people in our lives that we can share the cross with. Put people in our lives that we can share your love with, that we can bring to relationship with you in an authentic way that isn't a project, but it's legitimate and it comes organically and naturally. We love you, Father. Amen. And give Pastor Crystal a round of applause as she comes up here.
Wow, you almost can't see me over that stand. Well, good morning. All right, for those of you who have clammy hands and pits, don't worry, I'm not evacuating you guys. All right, the kids are right now in a practice evacuation. Of course, you guys don't hear the alarm, so you know that this is just a practice. But we've never done one of these, and I wanted to make sure the kids and all our volunteers knew where to go. Where's our mustard point? I want you guys to know, in case of emergency, where to go. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the children and family pastor, and I am up here to explain the emergency process. We love procedures, right, Maureen? Yes, we do. All right. So if you have a toddler, so age 2 to age 5, your children are on this top floor, and they are evacuating down that stairwell. If you have an elementary child, grade 1 to 4, they are in the basement right now, and they are always will evacuate from this stairwell. You guys in here, you guys are going to evacuate out these side doors. Nursery, you guys, ushers, thank you for being there. If there's any, there's only a couple babies in there today, so you guys don't have to worry. Oh, there's two? Okay, we won't do an evacuation today, but ushers, in a time of an emergency, when you hear the alarm sound, if you guys can make your way to the nursery and help evacuate them, there's blankets in the cubbies in case it is very cold outside, and the nursery volunteers will help you guys with that. So in a time of the alarm sounding, we'll take the babies from the nursery out through the kitchen doors and out. The mustard point is the brown shed. So adults, when you come out of these doors, the brown shed is to your, Maureen, left, right. Well, it's the opposite of what I'm doing, but yes, out that way. Yes, I do work with your children, and I do know what right and left is. But you go out this way, and you guys are going to migrate towards not the chain link fence, because there's a chain link fence that way. There's more of like a wood fence here. You guys are going to congregate that way so our kids can congregate by the chain link fence area to bring some separation. Because with all of the children in this building, what does the checkout procedure look like when all of us are congregating out here? So adults, resist the urge to help our volunteers get the children out. Leave that for the volunteers, even though I know that's your precious, precious cargo being shuffled. But please resist the urge to try and assist. Let the ushers, the pastors' council, and all the volunteers help with that. Your job is to get out of here safely and go to the muster point, the shed. And then once Marlo has told me that the building is secure and that whatever it is contained or there's no harm in the building, then I will tell you guys as parents, you can collect your children. But you must check them out. It's hard for me to keep track of 120 children in this building without you probably doing the checkout procedure. All right? So you must connect with the child's teacher to sign them out. And they will have their attendance sheets out there. So you have to make sure that you actually visibly walk to the teacher, say, can I take Jaden? And then, Ashley, then you'll be able to retrieve her then, and they will mark her off. Otherwise, me and Marlo are furiously looking through the building to find missing children. So please help me by helping you guys keep your kids safe, because ultimately that is our number one priority, all right? So if the fire ring sounds and there is still a fire in here, you guys will check out your children outside. But if the fire is contained, then I will bring your children back into their appropriate rooms and you guys will check out like you usually do. I am going to just open up the floor for questions because we've never actually done a fire procedure emergency evacuation ever. So does anybody have any questions for me about where your children will be at any point or what you guys, where you guys need to go? All right. Wasn't that an awesome end to the morning? Sorry. Yes, Carol, I see that hand. Yeah, no problem. My pleasure. All right, I hope you guys have a great morning spending time with your family units. Have a great day.
Just as I am.
Because there wasn't a fire, your children are safely in their classrooms as they speak. So thank you. They are not outside. They have already done the procedure while I was talking. Thank you. That would be not good.